Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
Some of you who have been with us over the last few weeks, or maybe joined us online or listening to podcasts, you know we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit being part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Clive started with, who is the Holy Spirit? Then Pastor Jonathan came, and he talked about how can we be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And last week, Pastor Victor talked about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, knowing that we have so many noises around us, but discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to start with the fruit of the Spirit. But before I go there, I wanted us to just think again about who is the Holy Spirit very briefly. Now, when we give our life to Jesus, that means when we say, Jesus, I want you to be charge of my life. I want to receive your forgiveness for all my sins, all my mistakes, everything I've done. I want you to guide me in my life and give me that abundant life that Jesus came to give us, really, when he died at the cross. Then the Father said, I will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him. So if we are children of God, we can ask the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. It's an asking. It is a gift. We can't do anything to deserve the Holy Spirit. The only thing we need to do is to ask the Father to give us the Holy Spirit. Now, you might wonder, why do I need the Holy Spirit? Now, you probably know in Ephesus, Paul found a group of disciples, people who knew Jesus, who gave their life to Jesus, but there was something missing. And when he kind of spoke to them, they had not heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So some of us, maybe we are like that. We know Jesus, we're on fire for Jesus, we love him, we've received the forgiveness. Jesus is Lord of your life. However, I've never asked the Holy Spirit to come into my life. Jesus, when he went to the cross, before he went to the cross, he told his disciples that he doesn't want to leave them orphans. Remember the disciples, the only thing they had to do, go to Jesus. What shall I do here? How should I behave in this situation? What do you think about this situation? You know, they just had to run to Jesus. But Jesus knew when he's resurrected, where is he going? He's going to sit at the right of his Father in heaven. However, the Holy Spirit is here with us if we ask him. So he said, I don't want you to be orphans. I leave the Holy Spirit with you. The advocate, remember, comforter, the strength, my favorite one is the one who comes alongside of you. So that's why we are talking about the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit, we cannot live without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is, again, somebody that you have to get to know. I know we can talk about the Holy Spirit here in church, but actually it's about you going home and just say, come Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, just fill me afresh. Show me who you are. Show me, you know, things in my life that you want to change. Show me how to understand the word, isn't it? So this is what Holy Spirit does for us. And really important, when we talk about the Holy Spirit or we talk about what the Holy Spirit does, it's not about us feeling condemned. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn us. He doesn't beat us up. But what the Holy Spirit does, he convicts us. So, and when we are convicted, that's again when we need to go back. Help me, Holy Spirit, to change that. So, I want to start with two scriptures that again just clearly state what happens when we actually give our life to Jesus. So the first one is 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. And I am going to use the truth version. So our faces are not covered or veiled because we have turned to Jesus. Our faces are not covered or veiled because we are children of God. Yeah? So we are able to reflect the Lord's glory. the more that glory is revealed in us, and that's through the Holy Spirit. We heard last week that he's our teacher. Yeah, he's also the one who reminds us of the word of God. So the more that glory is revealed in us, the more like him we become. So this glory that comes from the Lord is continually increasing in our lives because the Spirit of glory lives in us. Amen. Yes, it's really powerful, isn't it? So the Holy Spirit was given us as a gift from the Father. But one of the things Holy Spirit wants to do in us is to transform us. He doesn't want us to remain the same. So by knowing more of the Holy Spirit, our hearts, our lives should be more transformed. Remember, I'm not talking about a better version of myself, a renewed version of myself, isn't it? So that's why we say, you know, for those who are in Christ, they are a new creation. They're not a better version of the old that keeps changing, but they're a new creation. And the Holy Spirit continues that work of transformation so that we can reveal the Lord's glory. And I assume now, but I would imagine all of us want to reveal the Lord's glory, isn't it? Because remember, God didn't choose us to just have a nice life, so to speak. I know we have challenges, but have a nice life. He chose us so that we can be light and salt. And for us to be that, we need to be transformed. Yeah? So the other scripture that I really like is the one in Galatians. You might have read it last week, actually. So Galatians 5, 16 and 17. And we're coming to that in a minute. So it says there, "So I say, walk in the ways the Spirit leads you." That's Paul talking to the church in Galatia. "And you will not gratify what your self-life desires. For that self-life desires what opposes the Spirit. And the Spirit leads you in ways that involve denying that self-life. These are two contradictory ways. This means that you are not free to do whatever you wish." So when we have given our lives to Jesus, remember one of the scriptures, I think it's in Galatians 2:20, where it says, "I was crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." And I know it's quite a difficult scripture, and I'm still learning to fully understand what it means, really. But one of the things that I feel it's, yes, so not the old me, Isabel, my desires, my passions, is living anymore. It's now Jesus through the Holy Spirit who lives in me. And with this is the passions that Jesus has, the desires Jesus has, the dreams and the goals that Jesus has for my life. So here it clearly says, so it's not about our self-life desires. It's about what the Spirit says and how he leads us. It does say it's contradictory ways, isn't it? So I assume that means there is a battle. And it's a daily choice, sometimes several times a day, when we have to say, "Holy Spirit, you have your way in how I respond to this situation. You have your way in how I look at this person. You have your way in how I deal with my time." We talked about time, talents, and treasures, isn't it? You have your way. But that means I cannot follow my own ways, isn't it? That means I have to go, isn't it? Because we can't both be in charge. Now, verse 24 and 25, Kay, thank you so much. It says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed to the cross their passions and desires that contradict the Spirit. So if we live by the Spirit, let us keep ourselves in line with what the Spirit desires." So that's really just summarizes. So when we give our life to Jesus, yes, we surrender, isn't it? We surrender, we give up ourselves to Jesus, ask Jesus to be Lord of our lives. But actually, Lord is not physically in our lives, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit. So we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can do what he wants to do. Now remember, Holy Spirit, again in the Bible says, is not acting on his own accord, isn't it? There's the unity between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that would oppose the Father or would oppose the Son. So we don't need to be worried about that, because there's a unity there, isn't it? They work together. So when Holy Spirit tells us something, it is as if Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together wanted us to do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. All right. So, so today I was asked to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And first of all, I just wanted us to have a think about why is it called the fruit and not the fruits of the Spirit. I can't tell you that I've come up with it myself, but I used Google. And because I was wondering myself, why is it fruit and not fruits of the Spirit? And this is what I found out, and I thought that might be quite helpful for us. So fruit, it emphasizes that the Holy Spirit works to produce a unified Christ-like character in a person, not just isolated virtues. So a unified Christ-like character. Some of us, we all have different personalities, isn't it? So when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to read them in a bit. We can say, oh, I have no problem with patience. I'm a very patient person. Or others might say, I'm always very gentle. Have no issues with that. However, by just having one of these characteristics or flavors, as Pastor Colin Urquhart used to say, we are not really showing the character of God, of Jesus, isn't it? Because it's the unity of it all. So I'm sorry if you thought one or two is enough. It's the unity, it's all of it, all the nine characters. And I think that is really a challenge for us. And that's why I said at the beginning, Jesus or the Holy Spirit does not condemn us, but he convicts us. And I pray conviction, because the thing is, sometimes we need to be convicted so that we actually move and change something. So that's really my prayer for all of us, really, including myself. All right. So now, some of you have met Pastor Colin Urquhart, have heard some of his teaching. One of the really good books that I've used to look at is The True Spirit, which tells us all about the Holy Spirit and is really powerful. And so he said there are nine different flavors, and that these are qualities of the life of Jesus that the Holy Spirit wants to reproduce in us. Remember, as I said, a transformation is something that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. So this is a reproduction of what we can see in Jesus to then be part of our lives. And he said that if we are more like Jesus, it means that we have more of the Holy Spirit activity in our lives. And again, that, as I said before, means that we can glorify Jesus more through our lives. And remember in John 15, verse 16, where it says that, well, Jesus speaks to his disciples and said that, I have chosen you and I have appointed you. And in the Amplified, it says, even planted you so that you bear fruit of lasting significance. Now, if anything should be lasting, it has to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Because we don't talk about lasting next 10 years. We are talking about eternally. So it has to come from the Holy Spirit. So what we need to do is allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us. Invite him, but also cooperate with him. We need to work with him. Remember, I think Pastor Victor said it last week, that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's waiting. He's not forcing himself onto anyone at all. We can live our lives ignoring the Holy Spirit. He will not do anything about it. But remember, if we didn't need the Holy Spirit, Jesus would not have said, I don't want you to be orphans. If we didn't need the Holy Spirit, then that would not have been God's plan to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit when we are children of God, isn't it? So there's obviously a reason why we can have the Holy Spirit. And as I said at the beginning, remember, there's nothing we need to do other than ask, and he will come. He is always faithful. He will always respond when we genuinely ask him to come. So I think we should start reading what exactly are these nine flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. So in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I'm not going to read the first two verses before then, but some of you are maybe familiar with this passage where Paul does line up all the different fruits that come if you don't know Jesus and don't work with the Holy Spirit. There's lots of deception, lots of negative things, really. But today I want to focus on what is it that the Holy Spirit can produce in us in cooperation with us. Yeah? Not against our will. He will never do that in cooperation with us. So the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. Wow. Yes, so love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, the idea of Jesus is for us to represent him, isn't it? We are like his ambassadors here on earth. And if you look at the fruit, the different flavors, there you can see them all in Jesus' life, isn't it? Jesus had all of these. And we can represent him best if we reproduce all of these in our lives too. And that is his desire. However, remember, as I said before, it is in cooperation with us. Holy Spirit will never try and force us to be patient, you know, if that's not really a desire that we have in our hearts. We need to be willing to work with the Holy Spirit, and we need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Now, I know further, a few weeks further or so, I believe we're going to cover the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and again, like the Holy Spirit being a gift himself, gifts are given, isn't it? So when it's your birthday or Mother's Day in March or, you know, Christmas, obviously, you're given gifts and they're there and they belong to you then, isn't it? There's no process, really. Maybe just unwrapping or so. But otherwise, there's no process. However, those of you who are gardeners, you know that fruit doesn't just fall from the sky, does it? There is quite a lot of work to do. I haven't actually ever grown a fruit tree. I'm more into vegetables, and even that takes a lot of work. So fruit take time to grow, yeah? So it's an encouragement at the same time as a challenge because it takes investment. From our side, Holy Spirit is there, waiting, isn't it? But it's an investment from my time, from my side, to wanting to reproduce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. And it takes time. It's not happening overnight. And I heard once, I'm not sure, I can't remember whether it was at the college or at a Bible college or it was somewhere else, where it says, sometimes God, in his wisdom, places us into situation where particular flavors need to be grown. So let's say if you realize that you are not very generous, not very good, God puts you maybe into a situation where you have to learn to be good. Now, we can all say, I have to be good, 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 good. You know, we can all try our hardest to do that. But the thing is, it doesn't say strive to have this fruit, produce these fruits. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit to produce these fruit. So instead of us trying our hardest, determine I will be loving this morning, I will not be angry with this work colleague or so, instead of doing that, what we need to do is actually spend time with the Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Just fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. And then I can start producing that fruit. So I am going to look at the first three fruit. And I am going to start with love. because that's the first fruit, isn't it? And we all know that God's nature is love, don't we? Agape love. Some of you are much better than me with all those different versions of love, but obviously God's love is the agape love, the unconditional, everlasting love that we receive, isn't it? And remember, one of the things about God's love, it's not just a word. He has shown his love, it's action. And one of the scriptures that I really love is from Romans 5:8, where it says that God has demonstrated his love to us in this. Whilst you were still sinners, whilst we had no clue about God or didn't care about God, he loved us. He loved us. And that's how God's love is for us. And remember now, the Holy Spirit, what he can do is reproduce that same love in us. It's amazing, isn't it? That same love that we give without expecting returns, that we give abundantly even when we are rejected or not believed or maybe even mistreated, to give that love. So that is not something, again, as I said before, that I can work myself up to. It will fail, absolutely fail. It is really the dependence of the Holy Spirit who will help me, help us to be loving. Remember the scripture in Galatians when it says that you have to make a choice, isn't it? Self-desire, yeah, or Holy Spirit-led. And again, in some situations, you don't want to love because you know that it's not my way. If I love, it's not my way. Or do I think that is the right thing? I have to give it up. So naturally, we would rather be sure that what I do, what I want, is to be done. But if we're loving, that might mean that it's different. Yeah? So, love. I want us to read a scripture in 1 John 4. John, again, is a lot about love. And I kind of cut and pasted better some different verses of that chapter 4. And again, it's from the Truth Version. I think it covers quite a few areas of love, really. So, dear friends, so he's talking to us today, really. It is essential that we love our fellow believers and receive love from them. For this love comes from God. Yes, this love is in every person who has received the second birth that God alone can give. So the second birth, being born again, living now as a child of God, as a disciple of Jesus, with that new nature that God has given us. So putting this love into action demonstrates to the world that you know God in your experience. Remember, in your experience. We can know God and God's love by just hearing, you know, in our head, isn't it? I've read the Bible. I know that God is love. However, it will sound very differently if you've actually experienced God's love yourself, isn't it? I mean, then, you know, you can't explain it sometimes, isn't it? How God loves and what he's done in our lives, in my life, to show that love is inexplicable. So whoever does not put such love into practice does not have personal knowledge of God, for he is love. So if we know about God's love, however, we don't put it into practice, we don't demonstrate it, it's as if we didn't know God at all. Remember, when we receive the love of God, that's how we can give the love of God. We have to receive first before we give. God would never expect us to love this way without his love first, isn't it? He would never expect us to do that. But once we receive the love, again, remember, it's not just for us to be cozy and comforted in the love of God alone. I'm not saying that is wrong. That is definitely what God's love does for us. However, it's also to put it into practice. so that others around us who desperately need the love of God can actually experience his love through us as well. So God is love. So if love is your way of life, it is clear that you live in God and that he lives in you. So it's a way of life. It's a way of life. So it's not something that I just put on a Sunday morning because I'm in church and everybody's watching me and I need to be friendly to everybody, although I cannot be asked. So it's a way of life. So Monday to Sunday, 24/7. In our homes, families, I know families can be so challenging. Those of us who work or study, whatever we do during the daytimes, is a way of life. I would like us also to read 1 Corinthians 13. I know that quite a few of us are familiar with this. This is really a demonstrate. It's almost like a checklist of what love looks like. And as I said, sometimes we forget those things that are really essential in our life as God's children. And again, it's not about saying, wow, I'm overwhelmed. How could I ever love this way? Remember, what we are talking about this morning is to go back to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, no record of wrongs, failing all the way. Help me produce that love that Jesus has. Remember, no record of wrongs. I was thinking about, I just read in the Bible this morning, how did he feel about Judas Iscariot? He was one of his 12 for 3 years. He knew, remember Jesus is God, he knew what Jesus is going to do. But there was no sign, it doesn't say, at least I have not found it, in the Bible where he said before, hands off. You know, maybe not him, maybe I can trust everybody else, but not him. It's only that evening meal, isn't it, of the Passover meal, when he actually reveals what he has known all the way. Humanly speaking, impossible. Almost impossible, but I think actually absolutely impossible. So it's really about, I depend on you, Holy Spirit. I cannot do it by myself. I need you for me to love this way. So love is patient. Patient, as we said, is already a fruit of the Spirit. Love is kind. It's also part of the fruit of the Spirit, sorry. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. So that's a really important one, isn't it? It is not easily angered. Another one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. How amazing is that, isn't it? Now, I like that love never fails. Some of us, we keep on investing. We keep on loving. We keep on loving and loving and loving, and we feel there's nothing happening, nothing changing, nothing coming back. But remember the promise there, love never fails. And sometimes we only find out in eternity what that love that we've poured out actually did in those people that we shared the love of God with. So let's carry on and not give up loving people. Now, as I said before, the hardest thing I find is family relationship. So unfortunately, I tried loving. And I had a massive argument with one of my parents. And unfortunately, we don't speak since then. And I was so cross. I was so disappointed. I was very hurt. And I was like, Lord, I know you asked me to love. But I couldn't. And you know, it's that feeling inside, you know exactly, you should love. And I was like, oh, I can't get myself to that position of love. But obviously, as I said before, God doesn't want us to get into the position of love. God wants the Holy Spirit to fill us with that love. And I come across that scripture in 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. I'm going to read the Message version. And that just helped me to know what to do now with this particular person. So summing up, it says, so that's again, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. Remember, with the power, the help of the Holy Spirit. That goes for all of you, no exceptions. Obviously very blunt in the message, yeah. No retaliation. Again, sometimes when things like that happen, retaliation comes, tries to crop up, isn't it? You've done this to me, I'm going to do this to you. Or you don't want to talk to me, I don't talk to you either. No sharp-tongued sarcasm. I know sarcasm is something that is so common nowadays. But remember, that is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. And he says here, Peter says here, instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. And you'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. And that really spoke to my heart. Bless. And I started blessing. And I started blessing because I felt, yes, Lord, I can do that. I don't know how else to express my love, but I can bless. And I really felt like God is telling me, that's fine, bless. So every morning when I pray for my family, I bless. And I, you know, I don't know what's happening, obviously, but I'm just praying that one day things will be resolved and reconciled. But that really helped me. And sometimes you might be stuck in a situation and you are like, Lord, how? What do you want me to do? I believe the Holy Spirit can show you how to do things, how to be with people, how to be in certain situations. But what we need to do is surrender. So I had to get rid, I had to let go of my disappointments, my anger, my frustration, because otherwise God would not have been able to speak to me, first of all, and then also to help me to find another way of blessing. Good, so that's quite a lot about love. We move on to joy. Now, joy is quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because outside of the Christian walk of faith, joy is often the same as happiness, isn't it? So it's used interchangeably quite often. But I think we have spoken about that before. But just as a recap, so happiness is a response to something good happening in our life. Yeah? So we heard about Nadine and Ryan having a boy. Yeah, Reuben. That causes a lot of happiness, obviously. A lot of, even in our church, in our midst, isn't it? We are happy with them as a family. You know, your cousin who gave birth to Esme. Yeah? Just last 2 days ago or so, isn't it? Not long ago. Yeah, so that is a source of happiness, a reason for us to be happy. However, the Bible talks about joy in a different way and says joy, the source of our joy is God. Remember we said that Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. So that source of joy does not change. We are happy with babies being born, but we also know the toddler years are coming. Well, sleepless nights, first of all. So that doesn't always make us happy, isn't it? Things change. And then they grow up and they become teenagers, isn't it? So other challenges. However, the source of joy, God, does not change. He is Alpha and Omega. Yeah, so he's the beginning and the end. He's eternal. So if we use him as our source of joy, our joy will be eternal, isn't it? I know that in our lives is sometimes difficult. However, this is the idea of joy that God has for us. I saw an advert about Greggs, so I'm not advertising Greggs, but I saw it when I went on a walk, and it said, I found that quite funny, bag some joy. And it was talking about lunch. And I was like, oh, all right. So if you eat that food, then you have joy. And obviously that would last you maybe 10 minutes and then it's gone because then you've digested it. That was quite interesting. But so the joy, the source of our joy is God. I love, there's so many scriptures in the Bible that I feel, even just reading them, makes it just full of joy. And I'm going to read the one in Isaiah, Isaiah 61, and it's going to be verse 10. And I'm using the New King James Version. So, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, because he is my God. And you know, sometimes when we focus on God, we can receive the joy. There's so many things that God has done for us. So many things that we can be joyful about. He's speaking to us. He's loved us. He's rescued us. He's saved us. He's given his life to us in the Son Jesus. One of the other scriptures I've not put here is also very well known in Nehemiah 8:10, where it says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." So the joy of the Lord can turn into strength for us. It can turn into strength for us to endure, to carry on, although circumstances might not be pleasant at all, you know. But the joy of the Lord can give us that inner strength to carry on and not to give up. Now, I know some of us are very good with joy. Some of us are quite joyful people. But remember again, we're not talking about my personality is joyful. We're talking about the Holy Spirit reproducing joy in our lives. And again, I think when life is smooth, it's very easy to be joyful, isn't it? It's much harder when we are pressed on every side, isn't it? Paul writes that down, isn't it? I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, pressed but not crushed. I can't remember exactly the verses, but he talks about really challenging time. And in the midst of that, he can be joyful because he realized that he's got the Holy Spirit inside of him, who helps him to produce joy. Who is a grumbler? Ooh. Something we don't realize, how much grumbling and complaining steals our joy. Now, I work, obviously, and it's always funny because we often focus on the things we don't have and the challenges we have, isn't it? And it's really hard when we then think, okay, so what has gone well this week or today? It's really difficult to think about that, isn't it? So we all kind of end up grumbling. And that is a perfect thing to just steal our joy. And I'm not saying that we need to fake being joyful. Oh, everything is good. You know, we're not saying that we're ignoring the realities of life. However, our focus is on Jesus. Our focus has to be on Jesus. And that doesn't mean then that the situations are just going. Or do I know? Jesus can, isn't it? We do talk about how he levels mountains, yeah? So I'm not saying that he cannot do that. But we also know from our own experiences, he doesn't always do it that way, isn't it? So our focus has to be on Jesus. And if we are grumblers, I really just pray that God will remove that spirit of grumbling, complaining. Yeah, even if it's just about the weather, which I know is a favorite topic in this nation. We need to stop doing that because that takes all our joy away. Remember I said with our nature's flesh, we call that sometimes, isn't it? Complaining is very natural. It's so easily done. You know, maybe about another driver on the road or about the neighbor who just came out of the house at the same time. Or, do you know what I mean? There's so many things that we can just complain and grumble, but it steals our joy. It does take away our joy, and that is not what God wants for us. Okay, Jesus was joyful, and he experienced so much persecution, isn't it? So much pain, rejection, even from his own family. So the Holy Spirit can reproduce joy in our lives. There are a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to go into all of them now about joy. Really, like, be cheerful, be joyful, you know. So it's really a reminder that's what the will of God is for our lives, but not on our own, with the help of the Holy Spirit. The next one, on the last one I'm going to do, is peace. And so we've got love, joy, peace. It's actually a good thing for us to just learn those fruit of the Spirit. I know the kids do that a lot, but I think for us as well, it's good to know, because then we can go through it all and go and think, oh, I think this is where, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. I need you to help me produce more of that flavor of self-control, maybe. Yeah? So God's peace is, again, that perfect peace, that wholeness, that shalom that only God can give. Only God can give that peace. I know we are, I think that's just how God created us, isn't it? Needing peace. It's just, I think that's how God created us. However, we cannot find it anywhere else than in God. So I want us to look at Philippians 4, verse 7. Again, you probably are quite familiar with this scripture. So God's peace is beyond understanding and will keep your hearts and minds at one with Christ Jesus. And I always think about hearts is where all our emotions are sitting, and our minds is where all our thinking is happening. So I always feel that, yes, so God's peace to be on our thoughts, over our thoughts, as well as over our emotions. And it's really important that it's beyond understanding. So God can give us peace in situation where there's, humanly speaking, how can I be at peace? But he can give us that peace. And Holy Spirit can produce peace in our lives so that we become peaceful people. So that even when things do go wrong in our lives, that we can carry that inner peace in us. Another scripture that you probably are familiar with is in John 14, verse 27. And it's quite interesting. Before that scripture, so in 26, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit being the advocate and being the one who will come after him once he's gone back to heaven. And then he talks about, I leave you with the gift of peace. And I was like, oh, so maybe what Jesus thought is, yes, I'm going, but I leave the Holy Spirit with you, and he's the Spirit of peace. And it is my peace that I give to you, the kind of peace the world can never give you. Because you have my peace, there is no need to allow your heart to become fearful or troubled. And in the Amplified, it says, let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I think peace is again, like joy, is quite a hard one to hold on to sometimes in our lives when we have bad news. I know that, I think, Karen, you said about healing, isn't it? And I know there's different people who are really struggling with illnesses, isn't it? And that is something that can really rob your peace, because you're reminded constantly, maybe you experience pain or discomfort, or you're just limited in what you can do really on a day-to-day basis. And I think that when we are not able to have that peace, we become very quickly overwhelmed and we lose sight and focus of Jesus in our lives. And I know that God, that's why I think Jesus talks about that peace before he leaves, knows we need the peace of God in our lives. And again, remember, it's about us cooperating with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to reproduce that peace in our lives. It doesn't come just like this. It's a process. So even when now you're in a situation where you know the peace is not there, let's just spend time with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Fill my heart, fill my life with your presence and produce that fruit flavor that we like, the peace. So I would like us to stand if you're able to do so. Because, and also it keeps a bit warmer. I know I can see some people are really cold now. but I just feel that it's really good for us to respond to God's word, isn't it? To God speaking to us this morning. And that might look very differently for different people. But I just want to give opportunity for us to just think about maybe different things. Maybe God has already put something on your heart through the Holy Spirit, what to think about, or what to maybe go back home and ask the Holy Spirit to do. But first of all, I just wanted to again give opportunity for, if there's anyone you haven't given life to Jesus, you know Jesus, you have heard about Jesus, however, you've never actually made that decision. Now, remember, I grew up in we went to Sunday school, went to church, and I didn't know about Jesus, that I actually needed to invite him personally into my life until I was a teenager. So as a teenager, I then embraced Jesus, and I gave my life to him. And so that's why I just want to encourage everybody, you know, if you've never done it, and you know enough that you say, yes, I want to trust this Jesus. You don't have to know everything about him. I don't know everything about him. But it's about trusting him, having that faith, and to really make that step into following Jesus. I would like you to do that today. If that's you, I would like you to do that today. You can pray with one of us here. We can help you with that. But don't go home without doing that. Now, there might be others here. You have made that step. You have clearly given your life to Jesus. You have received forgiveness from everything you've done. Remember, that includes shame. That includes guilt. Yeah. So because Jesus has dealt with that at the cross. So you can be freed of that. But maybe you've not really asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Now, again, Holy Spirit in the New Testament, I mean, the big thing we know is Pentecost, isn't it? However, remember, Holy Spirit has always been there. And it's not always been like a Pentecost experience. Holy Spirit is gentle. Holy Spirit can come into your life when you ask him to. And you might not notice, but you receive him by faith. And if you haven't done that, then I would really encourage you to just ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Just show yourself, Holy Spirit. I want to experience you, Holy Spirit. I want you to be my best friend. I want you to come with me everywhere and to show me. And another group, so maybe you've done that already. However, maybe you noticed that you haven't been led by the Holy Spirit a lot. Maybe you've noticed that actually, although I have asked the Holy Spirit to come into my life, I rather do what I want to do. I ignore the Holy Spirit. Or I don't want to be changed by the Holy Spirit for whatever reasons. Now, pardon me. Now is the opportunity to change that, isn't it? To change that, to surrender to the Holy Spirit, asking Holy Spirit, I want you to be in charge, and I want you to transform me, and I want you to reproduce those qualities that make me more like Jesus. So that I can actually glorify Jesus in my life and through my life.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.